They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. We're so grateful you joined us today. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox, and this is another episode of the Again Podcast brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. We know you have a busy life, and we're thankful for every moment you choose to spend with us. When we started the podcast, Emily and I were processing one day, and I said that I felt sometimes it was hard to feel like I got everything I wanted to say across in an episode, and she had a very good word for me. She said she views a podcast episode as a Holy Spirit-led conversation, and that's why we're releasing this episode to you as well on self-care, even though we released one just 2 weeks ago. This is a different conversation, but the Holy Spirit truly led it in a wise way. And I think we can each press in for some really fruitful practical application. There are so many scriptures God laid on our heart to talk about that deal with self-care. May you be truly blessed by the wisdom in His word as you listen to this conversation with Emily Dio and I. And don't forget about our brand new freebies from the Entrusted with a Child's Heart study. You're going to get lesson 10, the full hour-long video lesson from Betsy Corning, the listening guide that would show you exactly what you'd get if you ordered the Entrusted with a Child's Heart notebook. You'll also get a quiz to fill out as you listen to the lesson and the full circle printable that we refer to often on the podcast and we'll be discussing more in detail soon. So head to our website, fill out the form on our homepage because we really want you to get a taste of why we think that this is the best kept parenting secret. Emily, as you've raised your children and undoubtedly dealt with the exhaustion that comes with that, and then as you've seen the topic of self-care come up continually in culture, what is your perspective on how a Christian mother should handle self-care?
In thinking on this topic and preparing for it a little, I thought, first of all, how tired moms are and how important it is for moms to get a break. So in no way would I ever advocate that you not take time away. And the Lord will lead you to what that time is, maybe. You need to get away and read a book or have a night out with some good edifying friends. So there's many ways that you can take time out for yourself. I think what we're talking about today in self-care would be more along the lines of how it's viewed. Even when I was talking with my daughter about it, she said, "Mom, we should take care of ourselves. Why are you talking about self-care?" Then that led me to serious thought and to the word. The verse that I was led to was in Philippians 2:3, where the Lord tells us, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself." I think it's so interesting that the Bible is the one place that tells us to do opposite to gain. The Bible tells us that we have to die to self daily. To gain. This idea of feeding into ourself is so cultural, but unbiblical, because we're turning to the wrong things to fill that void and escape, or whatever the case may be. As I'm reading over this, I'm thinking it's so interesting because we have these two selves within us that we know on the side of heaven will always be fighting with one another. If we're believers, we have the Holy Spirit-filled side. That is the side that wants to yield and wants to grow and wants to learn in the word. And then we have our fleshly side that is always fighting us. And they're both at war with one another. The flesh says, "Give me more of whatever, time away from your family or whatever the self-care thing is for you." But the Bible tells us that in order to gain, we die. And the way that we can really invest is to invest in one another, to forgive, to keep short account of others' wrongdoings, to love each other unconditionally. Those are forms of self-care that will be everlasting. Again, never ever would I be against taking time away. Even we see in Jesus' earthly ministry, when he was weary, he took time away to pray and to rest. Of course, it's biblical that you would do that and that you would care well for yourself. But we aren't to give in to our fleshly desires all the time. We're to feed our Holy Spirit desires. So as I'm thinking about self-care, I would say the Bible leads us to this thought that we die to gain. And sometimes we need to stop investing in ourselves and invest more in the Word and in wisdom. He grows us. Those are the ways that matter.
Absolutely. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone talk about self-care and talk about forgiveness, but you're so right. There's a depth of freedom that comes from following God's word that actually is more liberating than 10 bubble baths. That shows our faith, right? When we're actually following the principles in God's word, that will bear more fruit, more long-term fruit. Yes, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're pursuing Christ-likeness. We have faith. That's a long-term blessing.
Yes.
In Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls." I love that. There's a good way. We don't need to invent the wheel all the time. Motherhood has always been exhausting. I'm sure of it. And it's always been a sacrificial thing. I don't think, even though we may have new stresses upon us, we also have new comforts. I don't think we need to be looking for this new formula and constantly searching for who's got the trick. It's not really a trick. It's a mindset. Am I choosing to continually put others before myself, as you said in Philippians 2, knowing that the Lord sees my sacrifice and is honored by it? Do I choose to embrace that call? And then there is a wisdom in knowing I'm modeling for my kids, caring for myself and my own body, because I am supposed to love the Lord in that way. But it's not this entitlement focused. I've earned this. It's my turn. I think you're right. That produces more hunger for it instead of satisfying us.
Yes. Yes. I think it's so easy to look for temporal things to fill an eternal hole. And we know those won't last. I was reminded of this scripture also in Luke 9:23. And he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Again, it goes back to denying, forgiving, loving, caring. Those are the things we pour deep into ourselves that will spring, that will take root and spring this incredible growth. A mom's night out is fantastic. It's good. It's good for you to have a break and laugh and feel wholeness with other moms, but it's temporal. You get home that night, you take your shoes off, you get ready for bed, and you go to bed and you start the next day. The fruit from that night won't be everlasting as if we were pouring the eternal things into ourselves.
I think it's interesting, too, that so many women have different things that recharge them.
Yes.
Personally, a bath makes me feel so drained. That doesn't feel relaxing to me at all, but I know women that take a bath every night and that feels so refreshing to them. And so I think even recognizing what's helpful for us and maybe having, like for me, sometimes an hour to organize a closet or to bring a little structure back to an area. I know it's temporal, but that's satisfying to me that I know when I look in that closet, I'm going to feel like things are a little bit more put together. But I'm not doing that for anyone else. I'm doing it for myself. And that can be life-giving. So recognizing what's life-giving to us and not trying to follow anyone else's formula for it. Obviously, I say that understanding that we're following the biblical model of sacrificial living. But yes, then within that, we have our own personal preferences. And to not try to do it like someone else does it.
Yes, absolutely. He calls us to different areas and paths. And it's okay that it all looks a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I love that you said to know what recharges us. It's okay to invest a little bit of time there. And the Lord knows that. He made us that way. So right. He knows exactly what that is for us. And we shouldn't feel guilty for pouring into those moments either. What are your thoughts when you think on self-care?
I just want to say that I am the kind of person that doesn't ask for a lot of help. I don't really delegate much. And my husband isn't one who's going to take a lot of initiative without being asked, which I feel is a pretty common experience for moms. We see it all and we're like, isn't it obvious? But it's not always. Mm-hmm. If we're not good communicators, that can be difficult for them. And I had 3 boys in under 3 years, and then we didn't have any family nearby. I think I took that sacrificial lifestyle to an unhealthy extent at times. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit, and my husband, right after my 4th child was born, he was diagnosed with MS. And it helped clarify why he was experiencing so much exhaustion. I was finally realizing I can't do it all. And also at the same time realizing, but he can't help me really. And that I think has helped me to really rely on the Lord for my strength and to see ways that he provides for me and to help me recharge. But I've learned that nothing refreshes me like his word. So I have prioritized that, as you were saying, like that just to me, that is my self-care. Every day I can mm-hmm. walk away from the word feeling like I can do it. Thank you, Lord. I can do it. And my spirit feels lighter. So that's become number one for me. And I had to give up some other things to do it. My kids probably don't eat as healthy of breakfast anymore so that I can make that a priority. They used to be eggs and oatmeal and smoothies every morning. And those things are a little bit more stretched out now. And the trade-off, it's just been something I needed to do. That's practically what that's looked like for me in this journey that the Lord's brought me on. I do feel that the Lord does provide and gives me wisdom and surprises me. Maybe it's a little gift that my sister-in-law sends me. Maybe it's silly that I'm saying that in self-care, but when I see the ways that the Lord cares for me, I don't have to advocate for myself as much. Now I see that the Lord cares for me. And now I can just keep moving throughout the day, thanking him that I have the energy to pour into others. That's been a big shift for me to just look to him for that help, that guidance, praising him for the strength that he gives me, but to see the ways that he does give me rest, like providing incredible friends for me, that those life-giving conversations, I would say I probably will give up sleep every single time to have a great conversation with a friend. That's really life-giving to me. But as I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to say on the topic of self-care? I was a little bit surprised the path that he took me on through his word. The scripture that came to mind right away is from Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I don't think that when you're trying to keep little ones alive and safe and fed and clothed and bathed and exercised and taken to the doctor and the dentist and everything, I don't think it feels easy and light all the time. But if his word says it is, then we need to believe it and we need to press in. We obviously think about the physical a yoke on an oxen. But for rabbis, the yoke was their teaching. So take my teaching, my instruction upon you, learn from me. And Jesus, has anyone ever been more interrupted, have more demands upon them? I mean, he constantly had people pressing in on him. And yet he did take the time to step away, to pray continually, to mm-hmm. commune with the Father. But he also honored the Sabbath. And I believe that if we really honor the Sabbath, I think a lot of our desire for self-care will fade. The Lord in the Old Testament continually rebukes his people for not honoring the Sabbath. And I don't think that he wants that to change about his people.
I want to be careful. I know it is not a biblical mandate in the New Testament, but I don't believe that the wisdom of it is something that should be neglected for believers. I think Jesus was very clear that we should honor the heart of the Sabbath and not turn it into a list of do's and don'ts. But I also believe that we are living in a culture of people looking for a break all the time. And God absolutely has a plan for this in his word. And the scripture I'm going to read next does refer to a spiritual state of rest in knowing we are secure in our eternity and living in light of that. But I just think it's an interesting principle to meditate upon.
Hebrews 4:9-13 says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." And then I think it's interesting that these are the next verses. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Those words, like the Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. And then it says, strive to enter that rest, which sounds like a contradiction, but we have to be diligent to believe there is a rest when we follow the principles of God's word. As you're saying, like forgiving, serving, sacrificing, there is rest in that if we do it to honor the Lord. And then when it says the word of God is living and active, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, the Lord can help us discern how, in any circumstance, to provide rest for our souls. What is he doing? How can we strive to enter that rest? What does it look like? What do we need to give up? Maybe we need to make some hard decisions, but we shouldn't be looking at God as saying he didn't provide in our situation. Mm-hmm. We should be willing to make the hard choices to experience that rest that he wants for us. And even knowing, Lord, I actually don't know what I need right now. I think the Lord can give us guidance in what's life-giving and recharging for us at the time. I remember when the kids were so little and I would just pray, Lord, what does Sabbath look like? I don't know. My husband is tired. I'm tired. I don't know what to do. And I felt like the answer I kept getting was paper plates.
Oh, I love it.
I was like, oh, that's such a sweet, practical yes. thing. That's what we do on Sundays. We eat off of paper plates. And it just is a little thing that we could do even back then. Yes. That made it a simpler day. I also so respect in the Hebrew culture and the Jewish culture. Now, they really prepare for the Sabbath. You work hard the day before so that you can rest mm-hmm. on the Sabbath. And sometimes for me, it means making a big pot of soup the day mm-hmm. before. And I know that's going to be a meal or two, and that will help me really relax. Or maybe making a breakfast casserole on a Saturday night. So that when I wake up on Sunday, we just put it in the oven and we all enjoy it and we put it on our paper plates and it's a sweet moment together and it's simple. So I think if we can look for ways like, what can I do today to make tomorrow really restful for me? I think the Lord gives us a lot of insight in each of our circumstances, no matter how complex it is. And I know we're probably talking to working mothers and mothers mm-hmm. in all sorts of circumstances, and the Lord sees. If we believe that Sabbath rest remains for the people of God, let's strive to enter it. Maybe all it is, instead of scrolling for 15 minutes, what if you just sat for 15 minutes with a pen and a piece of paper and prayed? And ask God, honestly, what could this look like in my life? I am racking my brain and I have no idea how I could have a break. And it might be something silly like paper plates, but I think so often we get burdened. And I'm just going to scroll for a little bit because I'm overwhelmed here. Instead of saying, God, I want to follow you. So will you guide me in how to do that? And giving him a little time to actually solve our problems.
That's so good stuff. I think it's so much easier to check out than check in when you're exhausted.
Yes. What has it looked like for you as your kids have grown?
I love that you brought this in, this idea of honoring the Sabbath and the self-care talk. What it has looked like for us. I once heard a quote that I have never forgotten, and it was, "Your calendar is an act of worship." what you take time for is really what is going to reign most supreme in your life. And we all make those choices, and they are conscious choices. So I often think of the tired mom that's going from game to game. Whatever the choices you've made in your life, our calendar reflects it, and it is an act of worship. So blocking out that Sabbath day time is so important. What it's looked like for us, and especially now as the kids get older, is just stepping back. So we go to church in the morning, and our church here starts a little bit on the early side, which I like. We're out a little bit before noon, and we have the whole day ahead of us, and we don't plan much, if not anything. Every now and then we might go out for ice cream or something, but we don't do anything big. And we just take the day to relax, regroup. It may look like a little bit of homework with dad. I emphasize with dad because I'm not the homework person. So it might look like getting a little extra help in the homework world. But overall, it's very restful. And I agree with you. It has helped our family be grounded for the week ahead. Often we, Jake and I, will sit down and look at the calendar together and group the week ahead and get all on the same page. But whatever we do, it's always together, very restful and relaxing. And it just helps you enter into the week in not a tizzy mind frame, but in a calm mind frame. Now, that might come on Monday morning, but at least Sunday, we are honoring the Sabbath and resting. And I love that. It just makes you have a more balanced approach as you enter into the week. And I think also it's not really talked about. It's so easy to schedule ourselves to the max and then think, why am I so exhausted? And then when you stop and look back through your week, you realize, oh, wait a second, I really haven't had a moment. And this was modeled for us in Scripture, and everything in Scripture has purpose, and the purpose of Sabbath is rest. And I love that you said that they took that time to prepare. And so nothing ever happens by happenstance. It happens with often great preparation. So it may take the day before to prepare for it, but it's always worth it in the end.
Yes. And then getting our kids involved. There are a couple French toast casseroles that my kids can help me with, and they think it's really special. They can whisk the eggs and milk, and I'm cutting the bread. And then it's a sweet moment that we're spending together. And then it doesn't feel like drudgery, like I'm up on a Saturday night and everyone else is in bed. Laying out our clothes for church the night before. Yes. That's always been a big one for us. I don't lay out my clothes the night before because I guess I want to allow a little flexibility. But for my kids, that's always been a helpful thing. And then, of course, expecting that there's going to be chaos. I'm not expecting that I'm going to open a novel and read for 6 hours when I have 4 young children. That's not going to happen. I think it's taken me years to just adjust my expectations of what the rest could look like. And then we always do rest times. And on Sunday, they're longer. On a normal day of quiet time or rest time for my kids, they're not allowed to pull out like a toy or anything. It's more like reading and just resting. But on Sundays, especially when they were younger, we'd be like, okay, it's going to be an hour and a half and you can get out the mag formers or you can get a puzzle out of the game closet. So they could quietly do those things in their rooms. And then they knew that they get to play outside and everything when they come down. But just the little tips the Lord gives you along the way of, how can I make this work? Because it does feel impossible and daunting when they're really little.
Yes. When they're little, it does. We always got home from church when they were young and laid them down for a nap. And I remember that sigh of relief because let's be honest, getting out the door on a Sunday morning.
Yes.
And if you have a daughter, you're doing her hair, your hair. And by the time you do all of it, get out the door, walk into church and make it back home. Rest time is absolutely essential.
Yes.
And it's absolutely well earned.
I know. I feel like there's no hungry like a Sunday after church hungry. What is it about getting out the door and just giving your whole heart in worship and listening attentively? And I don't know. When I was growing up, in the church, Proverbs 31 was brought up all the time. And I made this huge poster in my room and I just wanted to be her. And it feels like culturally we're getting away from that desire. I really appreciate the authenticity of this generation, that we don't need to have it all together. We don't need to have it perfect. We don't want to be the people who get in the car and yell at our children because the Sunday morning was stressful and then put on the happy face for church. That is not the Lord's heart for us.
Yes.
And yet godly women do make peace in their homes and they have an impact. And a woman, a mother, makes such an impact in the home. And when I look at Proverbs 31, verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. We are called to work hard and there will be fruit from it. And in a day and age when we are inundated with influencers and beautiful people who have a message and are selling something often, to remember charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, to have that desire to be a woman who fears the Lord, we have to fight to keep that desire instead of being influenced by the media. I just think we have to fight for that perspective to reign in our hearts. And that's going to look different for each of us. But I feel that temptation to care more about my external than my internal at times, or to measure myself by others. But what I'm doing in my home is honoring the Lord and is blessing my family. And that needs to remain the goal, yes. Right?
Yes. And it's so easy to be pulled by all of the shiny things. And yes, I agree with you. Getting away from Proverbs 31, from the Proverbs 31 woman, is definitely a relevant thing today. But as it says, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And the fear of the Lord is, I think, what brings us around to having a right perspective and having a right perspective about self-care and our home and giving ourselves and how much do we give ourselves. And this idea of the Sabbath and honoring the Sabbath, the Lord is the one who gives the wisdom in our homes for us to keep the proper perspective of what we should and shouldn't do.
Yes. And believing that God sees it. We talked in an earlier episode about that audience of one. And it's an idea we'll be coming back to again and again, because it really, what we do is for him. But scripture says that he's a rewarder. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. If you're thinking right now, I have no idea how to do this, seek him in faith. Give him that opportunity to show you what it could look like and believe that he's going to reward you for seeking him. What a promise that is.
Yes. And even how he leads us so differently, same goal, but he leads us differently because we all have different needs. Even when we were talking about this topic of self-care, he led you to this idea of honoring the Sabbath. And he's led me to the idea of Philippians 2:3. He's so good to work in us, through us, on us in these individual ways. Mm-hmm. And he's so good to lead us to these places that is just right for you. And the reward will be for you in meeting you right where you're at. He's so faithful in that way. We just have to take that leap and give it to him. Release control and give it to him.
Maybe self-care is the pursuit of holiness, not just the pursuit of honoring our temporal body. To sum it up, we're looking for eternal benefit for our soul, for our sanctification, over something that is so fleeting.
And temporal, yes.
Emily, would you close us with a passage that was laid on both of our heart about self-care, Psalm 23.
Yes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
It's such a beautiful passage and beautiful promises. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And then, Emily, you had a really interesting point about verse 4.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. I think often we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that looks so different for all of us. But while we're in the valley, we are so busy trying to claw and search our way out that we often forget that the Lord is the one who brought us to the valley. And he will also, just like he brought us there, he will be the one who brings us out of the valley, but it will never be before its time. It will always be after we have learned the lesson that he wants us to learn, but he will always make a way out for us. So I found that so comforting that we don't have to figure out a way out always. He is the one who leads us out.
If you're listening and you're in a particularly difficult season, maybe caring for others or grieving a loss or just acknowledging that your family is not what you expected for it to look like, or maybe it's what you wanted it to look like, it's just a lot more exhausting than you expected, we believe that he restores your soul. And we want to point you to his word and point you to a life of holy satisfaction in him.
We hope you received some ideas that were really refreshing for you and that you're encouraged to sit before the Lord and ask him how this can apply to your life. Maybe you've got this all figured out, and we'd love it if you'd fill out a form on our website and tell us all about your self-care or Sabbath practices. We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms, Entrusted with a Child's Heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you from 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. We're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.